mic on?
Yeah, I do have a mic on. That was your first mistake, okay? So this time I came a little bit more prepared. I brought two Bibles, okay? And I actually remembered to bring my notes with me. That little last minute running around was because I left my notes in the kitchen. So I was running around like a chicken with head off, you know? But I want everyone to turn to Psalms 56. Psalms 56. So a little backstory on how I picked this message. I always like giving backstories because my brain kind of works a little funky, and I think this is hilarious. So I'm going to tell you how I get to this message. So pastor asked me to preach. It was a while ago, man. Like, he has given me ample time. Let me tell you, he has given me ample time. I did not use the ample time very well. I'm what you call a major procrastinator. I do a lot, but I do a lot last minute, and it's very, very bad. So bear with me, okay? Also, I'm a little sick, so if I have a voice crack, you heard nothing, okay? Nothing at all. But the way I came to this message was I had my mindset on one topic, and I was really, really wanting to just do one thing. Because I usually do the same, not the same message, but kind of the same idea. My first message was, what was it? It was joy and happiness, the differences and how you can have both in your life. The next one was how to endure in the Christian faith. And the third one was about anger. And the fourth one was about your blind spots. So, in all my messages, kind of preaching to the choir here. So I had one thing in mind. I was like, oh, let's just preach on something that I'm bad about. And it's, you know, help me, because, you know, it helps me to read and then study, so I can tell you, because it tells me first, which I desperately needed. But no, so I had my mindset on one thing, and then today I was running around, I was at St. Philip's campus, and I need 1 hour of quiet time, y'all. So I need 1 hour of quiet time, so I went to St. Philip's library, and I grabbed I have a biblical commentary with me. I already have one at my house, but I grabbed another one. And then I grabbed a third one because I'm like, I need as much help as physically possible, okay? But so I had my brain set on one thing, and it led me to Psalms 56. So while we're all here at Psalms 56, I was gonna preach on. I was thinking maybe something on like sadness or maybe like joy, one another emotion type deal. Very good with talking about emotions because I experience them on a daily basis, okay? But I want to read Psalms 56 with y'all. So Psalms 56, it says, to the chief musician, I'm reading the pretext, to the chief musician upon Jonath Elam Rekokin, Miktam of David, when the Philistine took him into Gath. Now verse 1 of 56. Be merciful unto me, O God, for a man would swallow me up, he fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they may be many that fight against me, O thou most high. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they wrest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. And God will I praise his word, and the Lord will I praise his word. Oh, I said that twice. And God, I have put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? The reason why I read that whole thing to you is because I was looking through my commentary. It shows you, it breaks up kind of Psalms a little bit. I really enjoy Psalms. I like Psalms. And this is one of the lament Psalms, as in like lamentations, like crying, weeping. One of the depressing ones when David is really going through it. And I was going to preach on emotions, so I was like, oh, let's just look at the sad Psalms and let's get some ideas. And then the Lord led me in a completely new direction, okay? It was like a squirrel moment, okay? I was reading my commentary, and in the pretext, the reason why I read the pretext, it says a miktam of David, or I hope I'm saying that right. It's a M-I-C-H-T-A-M of David, a miktam of David. And I was thinking, I was like, what does that word mean? That's a funky word, you know? Yeah. So I looked at it, and miktam We don't really know what the word means, but one of my commentaries put it very well. Mikdam, this word is similar and possibly related to another Hebrew word in the Bible, katam, which means engraving, meaning this psalm is so valuable it should be stamped or engraved on tablets for long-term preservation and or the accessibility for everyone to read it. So I saw that and I was like, huh, this probably means it's important, you know? So I was wondering, I was like, I got interested in the word, and it really threw me for a loop. And so then I kind of delved deeper into Psalms 56. And I wanted some context for the Psalms. And the context for the Psalms is 1 Samuel 21:13. If you want to go to it, I'll let y'all go to it real fast. 1 Samuel 21:13. This is the context. It's one verse, but it's kind of the whole chapter. You have to read it. But he is fleeing from Saul, and his armies are coming after him. He's scared. He needs to get out. He's fleeing. He fled to a town called Gath, okay? And people brought him to the king. And so to make sure the king doesn't do anything, he acted insane. He acted like he was demented and just... He acted insane. In 1 Samuel 21:13, it says this. And by doing this, by acting insane, what do you think people are going to do? They're going to mock you. They're going to make fun of you. So they were mocking him, making fun of him, and he was still acting insane because he was trying to get away. And, I mean, that's why he wrote the psalm. And through all of this, he was mocked. He was being chased by Saul. It was crazy. This man is having a rough and tumble time. Through all this, he still chooses to praise God. Why? In Psalms 42, 3 through 11, I want y'all to turn there real fast. Psalms 42, 3 through 11. And I mean, it blew me out of the water. I really enjoyed studying this and reading this, and I hope that y'all are getting interested while I'm saying this too. Psalms 42, 3 through 11. It says, "My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and the Hermonites from the hill of Mizar. Deep calleth unto the deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and the night his song shall be with me in my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God." Again, he is saying so much. He's in pain. He's running away. He's acting crazy, and now people are calling him crazy. I mean, if you act crazy, you'll get called crazy, am I right? And so it says in Psalms 42 that his tears and his suffering only establish his trust and resolve in God. I mean, to me, it doesn't make sense. I mean, when I'm sad, that's not really helping me, you know, with my relationship with God. But David, he says his tears and his suffering only establish his trust and resolve in God. In Psalms 13, you don't have to go there. But in Psalms 13, he talks about, "How long will you forget me, O Lord?" I'm paraphrasing it. I'm kind of skipping through. That's verse 1, "How long will you forget me, O Lord?" Verse 2, "How long shall I take counsel in my soul?" 3 is, "Consider me." And then, but then here's my favorite one, verse 5. "But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me." The first couple of verses are just a period of questions. He's going through a hard time, a period of questions. What's going on? Why is this happening? And then the next section of verses, it's saying, are you listening to me? Can you hear me? Consider me. Think about me. The thing is, would you be talking to someone if you didn't think they were thinking about you? Why would he be talking to God if he knows that God isn't listening. He knows God is listening. But he just had to say it out loud. But then this is my favorite. This is my favorite part. In verses 5 and 6, he says, I have trusted in thy mercy. I'm going to walk around with this so I can walk and talk. He said, I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. That's a choice. You have to choose that. When I talked about joy and happiness, joy isn't an emotion. Happiness is an emotion. Life is up and down and left and right. I'm talking to a bunch of adults. Y'all should know that more than me, and y'all do. I've been on this earth for 18 years, and I can't even tell you how long Mitch Lemoyne's been on this earth, but I mean, you know. So, I mean, but y'all know, joy is a choice. It's an attitude. So David told him that's a choice, but why is it a choice? In verse 6, it says, I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Easter Sunday had just passed. We all know what the Lord did for us. We all know what Jesus did for us. We talked about his stripes. We talked about his wounds. We mocked him. We pulled out his beard. We whipped him. He did that for us. So David says, I will be joyful because it's my choice because the Lord has dealt bountifully with me. That I love Psalms 13. In Philippians 4:7, it says, a peace that passeth all understanding. That's what you get when you have the Holy Spirit. David is experiencing this because he has a close relationship with God. He wants to know, he has a period of questions. He wants God to know he's suffering, and God knows. And bam, I call it illogical joy. I love that word. But the big point, and this is the message, now we're getting to the title of the sermon. So the problem is, I know that we're supposed to preach 10 minutes on Friday, but I didn't think there was a time limit on this one. So this might go on for a little bit too long. Okay, so that's a y'all problem. But the big thing I want you to get away from this is that the big point is trust. Ooh, spit a little bit there. Trust. In Psalms 56, it says, Miktam, this is needed to be engraved. Why? You look through it. You see what David is going through. You see his pains, his troubles. You see everything. But he still chooses to have joy in God because he trusts the Lord. That's the big thing about Psalms 56. So the title of my sermon, now that we're getting to it, is Trust in the Lord, Yahweh. Now, I love this, okay? I'm a big old nerd, okay? I know the lore to a bunch of useless things. I get it from my pa. He's the biggest nerd ever. I can say that while I'm up here because he's not allowed to come up here just yet. So the thing is, I'm a huge nerd. So I love those little tidbit facts like Miktam, okay? I read that and I was like, I want to know what that means. And I'm just a nerd. I like reading about stuff. And so whenever I'm reading through my Bible and it has Lord in all caps, like, that is so weird. And, of course, everything in the Bible, everything's got something in the Bible, okay? There's something in the Bible for everyone, and there's always something in the Bible that you learn more and more every day. I learned this through my daily devotional readings, and I found it honestly quite interesting. So I looked at it, and I said, huh, I wonder why. So I searched up on Dr. Google, and Lord, all caps, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, means Yahweh. I mean, not our way of saying Yahweh. It's the L is for the capital Y, the O is for the capital H, the R is for the capital W, and the D is for capital H. Now, I enjoy this fact, okay? So the name Yahweh, I love this. Get ready for this. The name Yahweh is a perpetual testimony to his faithfulness, to his promises. Thus, in its usage, the thought that God is ever present with his people to save, help, deliver, redeem, bless, and keep covenant. David uses the capital Lord, the Yahweh, multiple times. He uses this because he wants you to know this is the God who keeps his promises. Amen. The God who is always with us, who delivers his people, who talks with his people. This is the living God who will never forsake you. And man, I just love that. I saw that and I wanted to share that with y'all tonight. My first point is, well, since David is trusting the Lord, why trust? Why should I trust in the Lord? Now, you might think that's a dumb message, a dumb question, but one of my friends, whenever they got saved, they had a lot of dumb questions. I don't think there's any dumb questions about the Bible. A lot of them are pretty good. And one of the questions, they were asking me a bunch of, I'm like, don't you already know this? No. They never grew up in church. They don't know this. So the reason why I want to go over the basics is because basics need to be known or reviewed by most of us. I mean, you've probably all heard that the capital Lord means Yahweh, but you ain't been thinking about it recently. Ah, got you. No, I said. But no, so sometimes you just have to review the basics of it. So why trust? Because he has dealt bountifully with us. Like I said before, he has dealt bountifully with us. The cross. Oh my goodness. Do I need to put any more emphasis on the cross? The whole reason why we're getting to heaven. The cross. I mean, the pain that he went through. I mean, I remember studying, again, like I said, I'm a huge nerd. So I remember studying this. I was, first off, I was a seventh grader, so maybe I should have been learning about, you know, how gruesome it was. But I did. And I looked at it. I mean, just think about it. He was whipped with a cat of nine tails. Cat of nine tails, I'm pretty sure a preacher talked about it on Easter. Cat of nine tails is this leather whip with bits of glass and clay tied to it. And they'd lean you over a post, they tie you to it, and they go ham on you. Bam, bam, bam. I mean, it's tearing out flesh, blood, your backbone is out. And that's not it for him. Usually the Romans were kind enough to do one thing, and that's how you died. You either died by the cat of nine tails, you died by this, or you died by the cross. The cross wasn't supposed to be a one-day thing. The cross was a multiple day, or maybe even week, torture. They hung you up there, and they waited for you to just give up and die. Because the thing is, like Pastor said, you have to raise yourself up to breathe. Then you lower yourself back down. So it's just a waiting game. Just look at you struggling. It's either one or the other. No, they decided to do all of them on him. All of them. His beard was plucked. He was spat on. How would you like to be spat on? Promise me I'll do it. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. No. But no, how would you like to be spat on? His beard plucked from his face. All this stuff. He has dealt bountifully with us. And that's just the portion right before the cross. He probably had to deal with that. His whole ministry, he had to deal with that. People questioning him. The Pharisees. Ooh, don't get me started on the Pharisees. Goodness. Every time they opened their mouth, I was like, oh, be quiet. But no, but Jesus dealt mercifully and gracefully with them. So he has dealt bountifully in us. Why should we trust him? Because he did all that for us. You think someone's going to go through that because they like you? No. There are boys out here talking to some of the girls that like them. Y'all can't even get a text back. You know what I'm saying? So Jesus loves us. Unrelenting love. Eternal love. For merciful love. Gracious love. Undeserving love. I could go on. I could keep going on and on and on and on. But I won't. Because apparently I got time crunch. And here's another point that I have, and I really like this point. Okay, now I'm gonna grab more papers. So, okay, he has done this before. So I'm just gonna move away from the cross, even though that's the biggest point that I have on this page. I'm gonna move away from the cross. He has done this before with other people in the Bible. And we've all heard, you know, the Sunday school stories, like, oh, you know, Noah built a little boat, and he was on the sea for a couple days. Now, let me tell you about the importance of this. Noah was rebuked every day he made that. Every day. I can't handle it when Mrs. Galky looks at me wrong. I start crying. She's scary, okay? Okay? When some of y'all are having a bad day, and y'all even, like, or when someone makes a comment to me, I'm like, okay, fine, then I'll just stop. Whatever, you know? I'm an angsty teenager. Cut me some slack, okay? But you, could you imagine being mocked every single day? And this is not some, oh, you stupid. This is like every word in the book, multiple years. Every day he was rebuked. But he had to trust in God. And what did God do? God delivered him and his family. That's another great point to say. He delivered you and your family if you're saved by the blood, okay? Mr. and Mrs. Galky, they're saved Christians, hallelujah. They brought me into this church, and then that's where y'all, you know, that's where y'all got a deficit. But they brought me into this church, and I was raised. God's, Jesus saved them, and through them, Jesus saved me. Like Mark Thrift talked about that. There's the saintly factor. There's always a God factor, and there must be a biblical factor. And all that was present in my life. And so Noah, he trusted in God and he prevailed. Daniel in the lion's den. Y'all, I don't like those small little tab cats. You think I'm gonna go up against a lion? Woo, you better think not. Catch me bob and weave. I'm not gonna go in there. And Daniel, it just said Daniel went. It said Daniel went with them. He went with them? You could catch me dead. I'm not gonna let you take me to a den. I'll be screaming, fighting, shouting, all those things. But no, he said Daniel went with them. Daniel went with them in there, and he got thrown in there. And this, I mean, Daniel probably had some kind of peace, but he's human. So he probably thought, okay, this is the big picture. This is where my ministry ends. That was probably his first thought, or his first thoughts on the way over there. He's probably thinking, you know what? God might save me. God might not. I don't know how God will save me. I hope he does, but if he doesn't, this is the end of my ministry. Could you imagine that? Walking to your death. I mean, I can hardly look at a wreck on the road because it makes me nervous. And you're going to expect me to walk to my death? Oh my goodness. Scariest thing alive. But he trusted in God, and God delivered him. Amen. Shut the mouth of the lions. Yeah. Daniel was probably thinking, okay, maybe a pack of bandits is going to come through and just knock their horses down or something like that, or some weird way he's going to save me. But Daniel probably, once he got thrown in there, he probably went, okay, there's one option left. And he was, and you know what I mean? And he's done it before through Daniel. And then another biblical one, I want to give you a one real life example. My necklace is hitting this. I'm sorry about that. All right. But there's one more biblical example, Paul. Man, oh man, oh man. I love Paul in the Bible. I preached a sermon on him, how to endure in the faith. In chapel, I preached a sermon on that. And I got pretty emotional because I'm a very emotional kind of guy, you know. If you didn't cry in Titanic, you weren't watching the movie, okay? I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it, okay? You weren't watching the movie. You didn't cry. But anyways. But I was preaching, and whenever I first read about Paul's ministry and Paul's life, I mean, it broke my heart because that's the exact same way. I mean, for some things, I had to deal with it. And Paul literally told God, the weight of my ministry is above what I can handle. He said, Lord, this is what you gave me, and this is what I feel like. He said, take me home. What happened was, his ship, I think it was a ship. Now, I'm trying to remember this, so if I get it wrong, don't throw tomatoes at me, okay? His ship wrecked, okay? His ministry was seeming like it was going in a twirl, okay? He was under threat, and he said, Lord, I don't know if I can handle this. Take me home. But you know what the Lord did? Because he trusted in the Lord, yes, he had his doubts. Yes, he had his doubts. Yes, he had hard times. He was delivered. Amen. Through the faith, through the mercy and grace of the Lord, he was delivered. And that's another biblical example. But, you know, sometimes when I'm reading the Bible or someone's telling me about the Bible, a little part of my humanness, that little piece of my mind in the back of my head goes, okay, well, that was like 2,000 years ago. They didn't have phones back then. They didn't have camera. They didn't have cars. They don't know. I mean, it's hard to realize like that can happen nowadays. It's hard to realize. Is anyone else with me? Yeah, is it not hard to realize sometimes that, well, that was 2,000 years ago? It's honestly, that's what part of my flesh condemns me. Sometimes I'm just like, okay, let's get serious. It's terrible attitude, but I have it sometimes. And here's one example. Mrs. Wingate, who's not here yet, Mrs. Wingate, in 5th and 6th grade, she had us read biographies because you have to write papers and reports in your English class. And so one of the books that I read, it was it's a biography on Amy Carmichael, Billy Sunday, a lot of great missionary men. The one that really grabbed a hold of my heart was George Mueller. Now, finally, I'm getting to what my two papers say on here. But George Mueller was a great man of God who decided that he wanted to open an orphanage to have kids in there, right? And I will say this, that children's ministry is one of the best ministries, okay? I have a huge heart for it. I love the children's ministries. we have so many amazing kids that it hurts me to think that one day they could end up a druggie or something like that. Because I know some guys who I work with who I'm kind of sad to call coworkers sometimes because the way they act, the way they are. I mean, oh, I'm not even going to go into some of those stories right now, but they were raised in church, and this is how you act. And I'll ask them, I said, weren't you raised in church? And they said, yeah, I listened to pastor on Sundays. I was like, so you turned up the way you did like this anyway? And he said, yes. I have the biggest heart for ministry. Like little Bentley. I was helping little Bentley today in first grade. That girl is the sweetest thing on this universe. She is so sweet. She's so kind. She knows all of her spelling words because we made sure of it. And Miss Davis made sure of it. And it literally breaks my heart to think that in the future, she could be dead from some of her choices of sin that she could choose. She could be a drug addict. That physically makes me ill. I feel like children's ministry is the most important ministry ever because we need to teach kids. We need to raise kids. I remember one sermon I taught in here was on how to raise kids. And I'm a 17-year-old, okay? So don't have the best experience with that. But, I mean, we need to raise these kids up. Anyways, I'm rabbit trail. But George Mueller, he opened an orphanage, and that was his ministry. And I think these are miracles. I think you would call these miracles, too. He trusted in the Lord. He said that my salary, I'm not going to take my salary. God will provide. Amen. I'm not saying that, I'm not going to say this to be funny. Some of these teachers at our school, God has to provide. Right. Some of their salaries, I mean, that ain't a rich people school. That's a ministry. Right. So these teachers are out here trying their hardest, doing their jobs for the pay that, frankly, they don't deserve. Now, I mean, we can't just give them all the money in the world. I mean, I have the sense to know that where the money, there we need to have more money in order to pay them more. But, I mean, some of these teachers, I mean, I know Mrs. Davis's story very well, just because, you know, if you couldn't tell, I talk a lot, you know what I'm saying? So I've gotten her to, you know, gab about some of her story. And, you know, she's had to work fireworks stand. Her husband used to have to mow lawns back in the day. And all of this, they had to do so much stuff to keep afloat. I don't even know Miss West's story, but I know it's probably a difficult one. I know it. I know so many stories. I mean, Miss Ray, she's been a teacher forever. Teachers don't get good pay. She's trying to raise these kids for some parents. She is. She's teaching them the values and morals of life because their parents ain't teaching them. Anyways, woo, another one. But this is why you can't get me talking. You guys are making me act up. But George Mueller, he had modern day miracles. Let me tell you this one. Tried in spirit. I love this chapter. Okay, ready? One day in 1838, enough food was left for only one day. That'll make you sweat. That'll make you think. For 100 people, that'll make you think even more, okay? The staff, having given all they could, met as usual for prayer and went about their duties, but nothing came in. Mueller returned to prayer, still nothing. How could he face the children tomorrow and announce there was no breakfast? Could you imagine? It breaks my heart not being it. Like, I remember one time I was driving Kaylee home from church. And I always get food. If you're a kid in my car, you get food. It's usually what happens. I have Timothy, I have Anthony, I have Eliza, I have Jordan. Sometimes I'll have Kaylee. I usually have like 5 or 6 kids in my car. I always like getting them food. Because, you know, you came to church. I know it was boring. Let's get food. Let's talk about it. But it brings me joy. Honestly, it's one of the finer things of life for me. And I can't hardly tell them, I'm sorry, I don't have my wallet on me. Where's Brother Wingate? Sometimes I forget my wallet. Okay, guys. But I forget my wallet. I'll be like, oh, sorry, we can't get food. I'm sorry. It breaks my heart sometimes to tell them that because it's one of the things I enjoy doing with them. But could you imagine 100 kids with no family and no backup? You're going to tell 100 of them that they have no food tomorrow. Oh, my goodness. My heart breaks even thinking about it, right? So he's heartbroken about this. He became, quote-unquote, tried in the spirit. That's a direct quote from George Mueller. this is a rare occurrence, he says. Then, here's the modern day miracle. Because he trusted in the Lord, this is what he got. Then the bell rang. The woman at the door gave enough, just enough, to provide for the entire day, next day's needs. You think that was an accident? Oh, you did wrong. Let me tell you. That is a modern day miracle. People don't just up and, you know what? I think I'm going to do. So, I mean, people do. They do. But they especially do it if they're led by the Spirit. And I guarantee you that lady was led by the Spirit. Next one. Oh, these are double-sided. I didn't know that. Okay. We're only going to do like two more, I promise. Because I'm on a time crunch here. Anyways, a land miracle. This is my next favorite one. In 1846, Mueller went to speak to the owner of the Ashley Down land. This was the land that he wanted to build his orphanage on. This was the first step. Buy land. Now, for me, that seems easy, because my parents will buy the land. You know what I'm saying? I don't have to pay for nothing. You know what I'm saying? But first step was buy the land. That's not a nice, easy first step, if you know what I mean. Like, that's a big step in that direction, right? And he says, finding him, so he went to go speak to the owner. Finding him neither at work nor at home, Mueller couldn't find the guy. He was nowhere to be found. Probably doing something or other. Mueller decided it wasn't God's will to meet that day. I mean, if you can't find someone, it's probably not God's will. You know what I'm saying? The next morning, he went up to the gentleman. Excuse me, I read that wrong. The next morning, the gentleman went up to him, George Mueller, and said he had been kept awake all night. Let me tell you this again. He had been kept awake all night before he made up his mind to let Mueller have Ashley Down land at $120 an acre instead of $300 an acre. Not dollars, pounds. Excuse me. I'm in America right now. But that is a significant discount. Okay, I could do the math. Cadence, you're in business math. Do the math. What percentage is that? Okay, great. Good job. But that's a huge discount. That's a huge discount. And he said he had been kept awake all night. What do you think that was? God. Exactly. Thank you. It was God. Because Mueller trusted in the Lord, it says the heart of kings, I think it's Proverbs 21, someone quote me if I'm wrong, that the heart of kings is in the Lord's hands. Amen. The Lord is, his perfect will is going to be done. No ands, if, buts, or, nor, for, yets about it. All the conjunctions, Brother Lemoyne. No and, buts, or, nor, for, yets about it. It's going to happen. No matter what, it's going to happen. If it's the Lord's will, it's going to happen. Period. So the second point. He's done this before. Daniel, Noah, Moses, and the modern-day George Mueller. Third point, he will continue to do it. Oh, I love this one too. Joshua 1:9, if you'd all like to turn there. Joshua 1:9, probably should have said that before I start talking so much. Joshua 1:9, first I gotta find it too. But Joshua 1:9, he will continue to do it. Oh, I didn't mark that one. Sorry. You want to put Joshua 1:9 up there for me? Oh, I see it. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. We're all Christians. I hope we're all Christians in here. Okay. I know a lot of you. It says that you can tell a Christian by his fruits. And there's a lot of y'all with some good apples, amen. You know what I'm saying? Where was I going with this? Oh, yes. But if you're a Christian, one of my major doctrines that was pounded into me by Brother Lemoy in our doctrines class, Bible class at Townies Christian School, I got the business card if you want it. You know, one of the Bible doctrines that he taught us was that the Bible is the whole inerrant word of God. God breathed. That was a word we used a lot. Okay, God breathed. Inerrancy. So when Joshua 1:9 says, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest, that's it. Boom. It's in the book, right? The book, you know. It's in the book. It's done. It's a done deal. That's it. He is with you. So he's dealt bountifully with us, right? Why can we trust in him? Why can we trust in him? Because he has dealt bountifully with us. He has done this before, and he will continue to do it. Whithersoever thou goest, wherever you go, whenever you go, however you go, as long as the Lord is in it and in your heart. That's a big one right there too. If the Lord is in your heart and the Lord is in it, it will happen. Little is much when God is in it. I would sing the song, but I don't want to make your ears bleed, so I won't sing it. But little is much when God is in it. Now, point number two, because those were sub-points. I hope you know that. All right, point number two. The first point was why trust God? He's dealt bountifully with us. He has done it before, and he will continue to do it. The next point is when to trust in God. Psalms 118:8. I'm running a little bit out of time, so I'm just going to paraphrase it. Psalms 118:8. It talks about you shouldn't put your trust in man. You should put your trust in God. Now, why is that? I have, Brother King, you've been in the ministry for a long time. Will you say that? How many times has a man failed you?
A lot.
A lot? Miss West, how many times has a man failed you? Okay. Mr. Galky, he was in charge of a couple people in the military. How many times did your recruits fail you? A lot. Julian, you're the only young one in here. No, I'm joking. Julian, how many times has a friend or someone in your life failed you? A lot. It's almost like the Bible is right. Oh, shocker, right? It says, do not put your trust in man. They're going to fail. They're going to fail you. It is only the inevitable. It's our flesh, the fallen, sinful flesh of Adam. They're going to fail you. Psalms 118:8 says, don't put your trust in man, put your trust in the Lord. Proverbs 28:26, don't trust your own wisdom. How many people in here made superstitions? Oh, good Lord, that went up too fast. I have made so many dumb choices in my lifetime. I'm an angsty teenager, like I said. Please forgive me, okay? I have made so many stupid decisions in my life because I trusted my own wisdom, right? I'm always right, okay? Period. I don't hear nothing about it. No, I'm joking. But I'm sure there's parents in here. Miss West, how many times, wait, I shouldn't say that. How many times did your children think they knew better than you? Probably a couple times. All the time, exactly. Especially Miss Parrish. No, I'm joking. Miss Lemoy, how many times do you think your children thought they knew better than you? Woo! But no, what I'm saying is, if you trust your own wisdom, you're going to fail yourself. It's going to happen. It's already happened to everyone in here. I guarantee it. Maybe not the baby, but the baby doesn't count because it's, how old is the baby? She's 7 months years old. She's 7 months. Hey, y'all better quiet down or else I'll make this 30 minutes longer. Okay, I'm getting to an end. You better calm down. Because trust, I can chase squirrels all night, okay? I got the legs of a track star, okay? When it comes to eating, okay? But he said, don't trust in your own wisdom. You're going to fail yourself. Isaiah 41:10, when you are afraid. That's a big one for me. I'm always afraid. Afraid I'm going to fail. Afraid I'm going to embarrass myself. And afraid, this is a huge one for me. Sounds sad, but I'm afraid I'll fail my parents. They have done so much in their lifetime for me, for my brothers, for my sister, for everything they've done, they put 100% effort into it. You know how I know? Because I am what I am today. Yes, I'm a stupid idiot teenager at times. Yes, I'm a stupid idiot teenager at sometimes, but I know where I am today is because of them. Everything I do, my servant's heart, everything is because of them. Because they are good, godly. Whew. I gotta stop talking about that. Whew. Okay, or else I'm gonna start crying. But that's for graduation, I amen. But you can't. Where was I going? When you're afraid of failing, when you're afraid of doing anything, trust in the Lord. Amen. You don't. Like I said, you think Daniel was afraid when he went with them to the lion's den? I bet you he was. Bet a tanner on it. But trust in the Lord when you are afraid. Trust in the Lord in all things. Amen. The inerrant word of God. Love that. Love that little phrase there. All right, now third point. How to trust? Like I said before, that's a very simple question. Very simple question. But like I said, we got to review the basics, okay? There are good, godly people who have been on this earth. Oh, I can't say that either. Who have been on this earth longer than time itself, you know what I'm saying? There's some old folks out there who've been through a lot, and sometimes the basics escape them. So we got to review the basics. Let's review the basics. How to trust God. You have friends. Most of you. No. You have friends. Why do you trust them? How do you learn to trust them? It's because of a few key factors. And these factors you can use to also trust in God. The first factor, you know them personally. This is a big one. I, like I said before, I have made Miss Davis go on and on and on about her life because I'm nosy, okay? Because I talk a lot. Mrs. King, good Lord, that raccoon is causing her trouble, okay? I know everything about her daily life because I talk a lot and I'm nosy, okay? It's just how I am. And that's why I'm friendly with them, okay? I can't call my teachers friends because they are my teachers and staff members. But even like Julian, I talk with Julian a lot. Now, not as much as I want to because I am busy with a lot of things nowadays, but the way you trust your friends is to spend time personally with them. I'm not going to ask you to raise hands because then I would embarrass myself. How often do you read the Bible every day? Pray every day. This is a huge one. Pastor Riggs, get back in the saddle. I've told this to y'all before. When he said get back into the saddle, my heart hurt so much. I had literally never had a daily devotional ever before. I've been to a Christian school for years, okay? Just because you go to, like Mitch Lemoy says, the only thing that guarantees you that you went to a Christian school is that you went to a Christian school. Just because you go to a Christian school does not mean you're a Christian, does not mean you're in the Lord. It just means you went to a Christian school. I was so convicted. So I started reading my Bible every day. I'm getting a better relationship. Thank you. Thank you, Thad. Better relationship with the Lord because I'm with him daily. Amen. I sing worship songs in my car. My sister is annoyed with me, okay? Because I'm not a quiet singer. I'm not even going to try. I'm a loud singer, and I'm not a good singer. I'm a loud singer. There's a difference. But I want to spend time with him. I want to know him. Because I want to know that my footsteps are the right ones. I don't want to walk myself off a cliff, you know? Because I've done it before many times in my 18 years of life on this earth. So how do you trust God? You get to know him personally, just like your friends. How do you get to know your friends? You know they are dependable. I've said it before in this same very sermon. Hopefully y'all are taking notes because there's a quiz at the end of this. How you know they are dependable. I love this one. Okay, I know I've said that a couple times, but I just love this. Romans chapter 3, verse 3 through 4. I want y'all to turn there. Romans chapter 3, verse 3 through 4. I love this. I really do. I'm not doing the Bible drills, if that's a question you're wondering. Okay, sword drills. Romans chapter 3, 3 through 4. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written that thou mightest be justified. That is written that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. What he's saying is, just because you get unfaithful doesn't mean God's going to get unfaithful. Amen. Just because you stop talking with him doesn't mean he's going to stop talking with you. Yeah. He's going to be there. Yeah. Even if you don't think he is, he'll be there. Yeah. And that is the amazing part about God. The omnipotence. Everywhere. Omnipresent. Omnipotent. There's a lot of omnis here, folks. Omnitrix. No, wait, that's a cartoon. No, I'm joking. He is always there. He's dependable. Why? Because even when you aren't faithful, he is. When I do Julian wrong and I'm not dependable anymore, he's still dependable because I know he'll listen to me. Even if I annoy him, or sing a song too loud, or make a bad joke, or all the things, the dumb things that I do. I know that he's still going to be my friend tomorrow because he's dependable. If I need something when I haven't given anything to him, he's going to do it. Same way with the Lord. He's always there. Always. In every decision that happens, like Mark Thrift said, in every conversion, conversion meaning there's a change that happens, in every conversion, there is always a God factor. Always. He's in every decision. He's in this room. Well, I almost went off on another squirrel. Reel me in. Okay. The third one is, you know they are there for you. I literally basically just said that. Dependability and always there for you almost go hand in hand. They basically do go hand in hand. In closing, I just saw three people wipe the sweat off their brow. You better calm down. No, I'm joking. In closing, I want to tell a story. I love stories. Okay, I love talking in general. Okay, if any of you haven't noticed that yet. So in Boy Scouts, like Pastor said, I'm an Eagle Scout. And in Boy Scouts, there's an opportunity that you get to do. It's called Sea Base. Thank you, Thad. It's called Sea Base. And you go to Florida Keys to either sail or scuba dive. Well, in my wallet right now, I have a scuba certification. It's something that I'm very proud of because I know how to swim and breathe underwater with help of a device. It's so fun to do. We did three dives every day, and we did one midnight dive. Oh, my goodness. Okay. A midnight dive, that is not for the weak of heart, because it was pitch black. We were 34 feet under the water at midnight. You can't see nothing, okay? You got a little flashlight, nothing. You got a little flashlight on your chest, and that's it, okay? If you get separated from the group, you are separated from the group. You are gone, buddy. You ain't coming back, no. Night dives are not for the faint of heart, okay? It is dark. A common thing in scuba diving is, it's called, my dive master put it like this. He said, it's called up or down. Up or down. Whenever you're scuba diving, it's really kind of scary sometimes. If you're not paying attention, you can lose track of, am I right side up or right side down? Am I looking at the floor or am I looking up? Because it's just blue, baby. It is just blue. You don't know. It's so confusing sometimes. That happened to me twice, okay? But I love this. Oh, I love this. Here's the trick, though. Do you know how to figure out if you're up or down? Does anyone know the answer, Brother King?
The bubbles.
I'm getting to my point. No. It's the bubbles. You look for the bubbles. When you can't trust your senses, when you can't even trust your judgment, this is great, I love this, you can always trust the bubbles to get you back to the top.
Good.
When you're in the deepest, darkest pits of that ocean, and you don't know whether it's up or down, left or right, west, east, neither, tweether, none of those things, you can always trust the bubbles to get you back to the top. And isn't life like that sometimes? We get disoriented. We end up on a path that we didn't anticipate, and at times we can't even feel lost. We don't even know if we are lost. I preached a sermon, I taught a message the other night that we all have blind spots as Christians. We don't even know we are lost. We can't trust our judgment. But just as a night diver can trust in the bubbles, we too can trust that God will take care of us when everything seems dark and uncertain, when we can't even trust our own judgment. And I want you all to know that. This was heavy on my heart. I thought I was going to preach a sermon on being sad or something. You know what I'm saying? A simple sermon. But I found, oh man, I could go, I mean, honestly, truly, I could have made this message 30 minutes longer. This is me giving y'all mercy, okay? I just wanted y'all to feel what I felt through my experiences and through my nerdiness and just through the general, isn't that interesting? The capital Lord, which means Yahweh. We can trust in his promises. Miktam means engraving, which means it is profitable and should always be read. The bubbles. Bubbles! Remember the Dory one from the movie Finding Nemo? Squirrel. all of these things, these small, tiny things, the context of it all even. 1 Samuel 21:13. That is so interesting. And I thought I was going to end up over here. I ended up all the way over there. I started at this stepping stone, and it ended somewhere I couldn't even imagine because I was interested in it. Yes, the big point of this message was to trust in the Lord, Yahweh, the God who always keeps his promises, keeps his mercy, keeps his grace, common grace. I learned that word the other day too, but I'm not going to go into it. Common grace. You should look it up. It is so awesome. Common grace. It is so amazing. Through all of these things, I lost my train of thought. Oh my goodness. No. So I want you to get interested in it. Having a personal relationship. How can you trust him? Because he's with you. Amen. Get to know him. Amen. I'm a simple teenager. I go to bed really late and wake up later. You know, Miss King knows how often I'm tardy at school or absent at school altogether. I try to fit it in. Like Julian said, you can't just fit it in. It has to be there. It has to be scheduled. Get into it. It's so interesting. Bow your heads, close your eyes. Nice. That's the end of my message. I just want to pray with y'all real fast. Dear God, thank you for this amazing day. Thank you for letting me be busy, Lord. Thank you for letting me help with the Senior Saints Luncheon. Lord, I thank you for everything. Your common grace, your salvation. I mean, the gift of salvation is something so incredible, Lord. And I love you, Lord. I praise your name. And I hope, Lord, that you let this sermon melt into the hearts of the people here tonight, Lord. I hope and pray that we all trust in you, that we all know how to trust, when to trust, and why to trust, Lord. I hope they get interested. I hope the Bible is like a roadmap for them. They think they're going this way, but somehow or another they end up here because you know what's in our hearts. You know our interests, Lord. And I love you, Lord. I praise your name. In Jesus' name, amen.